Well, again, good morning to you, church. I want to say thank you for your prayers for Alyssa and our family as we were gone this past Sunday and traveling. Thank you for your prayers for Alyssa's extended family at the passing of her grandmother. I am so thankful for all in our church. I won't dare try to mention the names. I'm just so thankful for everyone who served so faithfully in our absence and served this body so well. All the travel all went well for us. The services all went well. The gospel was able to be shared with many in attendance who do not know Christ. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to have been part of that. This morning, we turn to the next verses of Paul's great letter to the Romans. So I was thinking about this and preparing even for this Sunday. I sincerely hope that the study through this letter, the preaching through this letter, has been a great blessing to you thus far. No promises this point forward, but I hope that the ground we've covered so far has been a great blessing. As some of you know, as we had conversations about this before beginning in this book, I was terrified to approach this letter, the letter of Paul to the Romans, and I still am tremendously nervous and terrified by this book. With great truths in this letter. Having covered Romans 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 25, we now begin a new major section of the book, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 39. So Paul has introduced himself to the Romans. He's introduced his major theme, the gospel of Jesus. He began with the wrath of God revealed against all sin and all sinners, just like you and me. He trapped us in the truth that we cannot escape the wrath of God because we have no access to the only escape of wrath, God's wrath, which is the righteousness that God himself has. We're hopeless. We have no other way. But the righteousness of God has been revealed another way, received by faith in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Those who believe on Jesus, they confess faith on Jesus, they are justified by God, they're declared righteous, not by works of the law, not by keeping God's law, but by grace. His chapter 4 makes clear Abraham himself is the perfect example of this. He's being justified, have been justified by faith in God and God's promises long before the covenant sign of circumcision was given and long before the giving of the law. As we saw together, there's a crucial distinction between the law and the gospel. All that the law requires, God provides in the gospel of Jesus. So our response, Romans has been telling us, ought to be belief and trust, faith, and the worship of God. Well, that's where Romans 4 ended. Look with me again back in chapter 4. Let's read again verses 22 through 25. Where did we finish as we reach these verses that Matt read for us just a moment ago? Right at the end of Romans 4, verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Talking about Abraham. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is Jesus, the one who died for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. This is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. All glory to Christ. Amen? All glory to Christ. Well, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11 is the next paragraph in Paul's letter. So just like that rich chocolate fudge that you have to take smaller bites or it's just overwhelming, so these first 11 verses are like that. We have to take smaller bites. There's just too much in these verses. This morning, the plan that I had was to consider Romans 5, 1 through 5, and that would have been last Sunday, but now this Sunday. And then the plan was Romans 5, 6 through 11 for this Sunday, but now that's going to have to be next Sunday. But God has changed that plan. So here this morning, going to consider just one verse, Romans 5, verse 1. And then as the Lord leads, let's just leave, that sounds wise to me. Let's just leave it to that. As the Lord leads in the coming weeks to cover the rest of these verses. Romans 5, verse 1. But I believe in this paragraph, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, there is a central truth. There's a driving truth from verses 1 through 11 that we're just going to consider the first point. Coming weeks, we'll consider the rest of the points. And I believe it's this. Justification in Christ includes life-changing blessings. Justification in Christ includes life-changing blessings. Sometimes when we think about the gospel, when we think about salvation, we think about the starting point of the Christian life, almost the place where all the runners are at that starting line and the great fight, the shot goes off and we're running the Christian race. And the gospel, salvation, stays behind us now. Now we're running forward the Christian life. That's not quite accurate. Or sometimes we'll think about eternal life in Jesus. And praise the Lord, there is eternal life in Jesus Christ alone. And we'll think of that as yet future, as ahead of us, as glory in heaven. But that's not quite totally right either. Those things are true indeed. But there is life now in Jesus. There are blessings now as Christians that we rejoice in and we celebrate, we sing of as we did today, all in Jesus. And specifically, built on the ground we've covered, here in Romans 5, it's built on the justification that is ours in Christ, legally declared righteous by faith in Jesus. So this morning, we consider only the first, just the first one, because it's that rich. Then that first one is here, verse 1. Let me read it again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin first then. Justification in Christ brings peace with God. Justification includes life-changing blessings. There are many here in these verses, but what's the first one? The first one is this. Justification in Christ brings peace with God. That wasn't a mic drop moment. I just needed my water. Justification in Christ brings peace with God. Peace. What picture comes into your mind when you think about peace? Maybe you think about the perfect peaceful day, however you might define that. Maybe for you that's a beautiful day outside tending to your garden with the birds joyfully singing and those pesky weeds cooperating with your efforts. It's the perfect peaceful day. Maybe the perfect peaceful day for you is in the tree stand all alone or on the boat fishing those calm waters. Maybe the perfect peaceful day is a day when the kids do exactly as they should do, exactly as they're told to do without any fighting or any backward back. My wife's not here to amen that here this morning. Maybe you think about the former president from Arkansas. I will not try to mimic his voice talking about peace in the Middle East. Peace in the world on a global scale. Maybe that's what comes to mind. Maybe it's peace in countries that are currently at war. Peace between those Hatfields and McCoys. Peace in our homes. Peace in our marriages. Peace in our souls. What comes into your mind when you think about peace? What is your definition of peace? When things get noisy in your life, where do you wish you could go? What do you wish you could change, remove, or add into your life right now that would give your life greater peace? How would you answer that? Where do you look for peace? Last Sunday, this congregation was well ministered to by Deacon Jared and the preaching of the word of the scriptures. He preached from just a wonderful verse in the New Testament there in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed us here at Calvary with men of godly character and God-given ability to handle the scriptures well. I know he blessed you, and praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. As Jared preached last Sunday, you and I experience suffering. We go through seasons of suffering. So church, when suffering comes, as I know you were exhorted on, where do you look for peace? It's going to come. It has come. Where do you look for peace? The pulpit is not a confessional booth, but you are my church family. So may I share just a little bit of my heart with you? Some of this is how I'm wired. Some is a mix of my own sinfulness. Some is a mix of experiences I've had in ministry. But I find that my default mode sometimes is just waiting for the next trouble. So who's going to be mad next? What fire is going to spring up around the corner? If I say or do the wrong thing, or more accurately, if I don't say or do what someone expects of me, what trouble will that bring my way? I can get in a mode, is harm around the corner? Is harm coming to my marriage? Is harm coming to my children? And all of this causes noise in my soul sometimes. It can cause noise in my soul, and I can become anxious and worried. It produces in me sometimes a hypervigilance where I'm just trying to be aware of what's going on, a hyperintuitiveness and trying to read the tea leaves, so to speak. And when things get really out of hand for me, it sometimes messes with my sleep, don't eat well, just a big giant mess. Sometimes that's me. Recently, I was talking with a godly dear friend. And we were sharing our hearts together. And as we were thinking out loud about some of these dynamics and shared experience, we said out loud to each other as we were thinking about it, how often we are searching for peace and safety, however we're defining that, whatever we think it is. How often in life, in the moments of life, we're trying to find peace, we're trying to find safety, whatever the context might be, however we define it. Whatever we think it looks like for us right now. Sometimes we can't define it. Sometimes we just long for peace. Have you ever been there? Are you there right now? Where in your life right now do you wish there was peace? In your marriage, with your children, whether in the home or all grown up, with parents at work, with a health issue, with a major decision that you need to make? Where do you feel it right now, church? Where do you feel it? Where in your life right now do you wish there was just some peace? As I asked, where do you look for peace? Where are those go-to routes? Where are those go-to paths in your life that it's a well-worn path and you walk that path so easily and quickly when you're looking for that peace? The go-to route, the go-to direction, what do those look like for you? Maybe we think, if I just stay here in bed under these safe covers, I will have peace. Maybe we think, if I just go along to get along, there will be peace. Don't cause any waves, don't cause any riffles. Sometimes people think, if I'm aggressive enough and loud enough and angry enough, then I'll have peace and I'll control this piece of my life. People turn to anything and everything for peace, right? Don't they? Solitude, power, money. People turn to fame. People turn to food. People turn to sex and possessions, health, physical fitness. People turn to knowledge, skill sets. Sometimes it's just plain old winning. Winning is the peace. That list goes on forever. Anything. We can make anything try to be our peace. But friends, every single one of the things on that list is doomed to be your ultimate peace. Every single one of those things is outside of your control, can be taken away. They're all doomed. They all lie. They are liars about the peace that they promise. Like me sometimes, do you find yourself groping for peace in something that will never give lasting peace? Do you ever find yourself even going back to the same empty wells where you know it's not going to provide lasting peace, but you find yourself there again anyway. If you think about our 24-hour news or even just advertising, both prey on this desire for peace, do they not? If we can keep people riled up against each other because they want peace so bad, then they'll fight and battle each other and the ruling political class wins. Or if people think this new car or this new vacation or this new pill, it will give them the peace that they want, then they'll spend any amount of money needed to get that so that they can have the peace. Have you ever found yourself caught up in that? What is peace? Is peace the absence of conflict? So a marriage is at war and peace is building on an addition on the home so there can be separate bedrooms. I saw an article recently that this couple had a sleep divorce. So separate bedrooms they put on, and so that's how they found peace in their marriage. Is that actual peace? Is peace just not talking about the family troubles? Sweep it under the proverbial rug, we just don't talk about it, and that's peace? Friends, all of that is fake peace. As Christians, is that the best we can hope for peace in life? Enter Romans 5, verse 1. What does the Scriptures say? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have received something. We possess, it's ours, to never be taken away, to never be used up, to never run dry, to never prove not meeting the need. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When our hearts long for peace, when our souls are full of noise, in lack of peace, the answer is not in what is false, but in the true source of peace. And Christian, that peace we long for is ours in Jesus. It's always ours in Jesus forevermore. Friends, justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone includes life-changing blessings. And first on that list is peace with God. Christian, you have today this position of everlasting peace with the one true, almighty, unchanging, all-wise, infinite God. That is the greatest peace. That is true peace, satisfying, joy-giving, life-stabilizing peace. Brothers and sisters, you have peace with God in Jesus Christ. Let's back up. Let's zoom out a little bit here. As we land in Romans 5, verse 1, let's just meditate a little bit on how heavy Romans 5, verse 1 should come to us in joy. Or maybe reverse the way we say that, how uplifting the heaviness of our lives, Romans 5, verse 1, does. Think back with me, flipping your Bibles back to Romans chapter 1. Let's review some of this. Remember the doom of Romans 1 and 2? Look at Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Romans 1:18 is a difficult verse. It labels all of us as what? Ungodly and unrighteous. We live as if God doesn't exist, and we press about our life doing what feels right, doing what we want. And what happens? God's wrath is revealed against this. Romans 1, verse 24, then 26 and 28, they repeat a phrase. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. Verse 28, God gave them up. We didn't pull any punches on the sermons in this section here. God's wrath is revealed against all sinfulness. not only the excessive expressions of sexual sin, such as LGBTQ and on the list goes, but revealed against all sin that suppresses the truth of God, that rejects the truth of God, that chooses selfishness and me and what I want. It levels all of us, regardless of how our sin is expressed, under God's wrath and in danger of being given over to the very sin that's condemning us. Romans 2, verse 5, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath. There's a day of God's judgment coming. Christ is returning. And that with him comes his recompense, the scripture says, comes his judgment. And those who reject Christ in this life will experience that judgment. Romans 2, 6 at the beginning, he will render to each one according to his works. And verse 11 is the scariest in the context of all of this. Verse 11, for God shows no partiality. There's no proverbial scales. If the good outweighs the bad, then hey, it's all going to work out in the end. There's no, hey, I did enough religious stuff, it's going to be fine. There's no, it's who I know and where I've been and what I've had. It matters nothing. We're leveled before a holy and righteous God. That's where Romans had us, under God's wrath. No peace. In all our search for peace, we usually forget something incredibly important. All those little noises, like maybe the big moments of life, maybe it's a constant drip of things in our life and our soul. We're just longing for some peace. If I could just have some peace, we forget something important. My greatest problem is not that people can hurt me. My greatest danger in life is not that I could run out of money and be homeless. My greatest danger in life is not related to physical health or my decision making. The greatest danger of my future is not that we can, as a country, continue to elect imbeciles that drive our country to the ground, laughing while they do so. My greatest problem is that I'm a sinner. I'm doomed for eternity to hell because of my sins. That is the greatest danger of my life. I stand before the one and only true Creator and holy God in hopelessness, as does everyone. Hopeless until Christ. So Christ comes. The righteousness of God is revealed in Jesus. That it's his life, his perfection, his death in our place, his resurrection. And by faith in Christ, the righteousness of God is credited to our account, us these sinful people doomed in our sin. And we are given peace with God. All the wrath gone. All the danger absorbed in Jesus, paid in Jesus. What we did not have and could never have, it's now all we have. Peace with God. Peace with God. In his death, burial, and resurrection, through his act of obedience and obedience to the cross, Christ has satisfied the wrath of God for you. Christ has paid the penalty for your sins. You, Christian, you have peace with God. And your heart's search for peace, all those places we look, right? That ain't just me, okay? Pious faces everywhere. That's not just me. The places we look, all those false lying places where we look, and our hearts don't know the peace that we've longed is found in Christ. It's in him. It's found in him. It's in Christ, and it's found. It's there. We have it. Peace with God forever. His smile and delight and love, always yours and always mine, moment by moment, day by day, forever, as long as Christ lives. That's justification. That's the blessing of justification. We have peace with God through justification. We also have peace with God because God is the God of peace. Listen to your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Friends, God is the God of peace. He is the source of peace. He is the only one who possesses this peace. And he can distribute this peace as he wills. God can give true peace because God is the God of peace. All the promises of God's peace are rooted here. Again, listen to your Bible. John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus, in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and soon return, his advocacy for us at the right hand of the Father, he gives us peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14, and then verse 17. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near." Or 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That God is our peace is where there's rootedness of our sanctification, being made to be more like Christ and grow in Christ. This peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And then how do we gain this peace? How do we have access to this peace day by day? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And church, you know what happens. "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." One last one, not an exhaustive list, but one last one. John 16, 33. Very much connected to the Bible preaching you heard last Sunday. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In Christ, we have peace when all around us there is no peace. In Christ, we have peace when the noise begins to build in our own souls. We have peace with Christ forevermore. What does this look like? It looks like day by day preaching this truth to yourself. It means moment by moment preaching this truth to yourself. When those big moments of life come along and rock your world, it's recognizing there is difficulty, there is challenge, there is trial, there is suffering, there's danger. But the ultimate peace that I need has been satisfied in Jesus, and it's mine forever. And as Christ is with me for that peace, then Christ will be with me now in this too. It looks like in those small moments of life where sometimes we feel that noise in our soul. Sometimes we don't even know why. Sometimes we don't even know where this is coming from. We can't even identify. It's just this anxiousness and worry and fear or frustration, or on that list could go. It's preaching to ourselves why there's noise in my soul. There's just feels instability in me. And Lord, I don't know why this is here. But Father, you are my peace. Christ, you are my peace. And through your death and resurrection for me, that peace is secure in you forever. I may not have answers for this right here, but for my greatest need of peace, I have an answer for that. And Christ has provided for that in me, in his cross. What does this look like if we hear that and we still think, that doesn't, I don't know that that really works. I mean, some things in life are pretty big. Some noises in the soul are pretty intense. Then, Christian, I would call you to this. Look to Christ again and again and again. famous theologian of the past has said, for every one look in self, one look inward, take 10 looks to Christ. Look to the gospel again. Look to the cross again. Look to Christ, who is your peace. Believe this truth when your soul is searching for peace. Believe this truth when the house is a mess. Trust Christ. Truly trust in Him. He is your peace when danger feels to be suffocating you. Because of justification by faith, you have peace with God. So I ask you again, where in your life right now do you wish for peace? My life circumstances can never touch this peace with God. No matter what the circumstances are around me, they can never touch or alter or take a dent out of this peace with God. No matter the noise or pressure or fears, this peace is always my refuge. And Christian, it's always yours too. So I have to preach to myself. I have to preach to myself often. Sam, you are known and loved by God. Christ died for you and lives for you. You are justified before God in Christ. You are at peace with God. He loves you, and He will be with you right now in this moment and in the moments to come that you don't know. St. Augustine of Hippo, or Augustine, depends on if you're listening to R.C. Sproul or not, he famously said this, "Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." Is there restlessness in your soul? Have you found your rest in Christ? Do you need to look to Christ anew today? Not to become a Christian again, but to return to Christ. And what an opportunity is ours today, right? Gathered around the table to have our hearts encouraged in Christ, who is our peace. Let me mention as well, what kind of pastor would I be? I'd be amiss not to mention, perhaps you hear this today. You hear this truth of the wrath of God revealed against sin and the peace of God available to those who have their faith and trust in Christ alone. I invite you, anyone gathered here today who you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, then friend, you are in danger. You do not have the peace of God. So the invitation is for you. Would you call on Jesus today? Believe in Him that He died on the cross for you, rose again, confessing your sins. He will save you from your sins, and He will give you that peace that's His forever.